Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of My Naked Mindset. I'm your host, Janae Ledger. This is episode number 149. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I am very, very excited. We are going to be talking about a very specific topic, and I'm very excited for you guys to learn more about this topic. It's definitely probably going to be for the ladies, but, you know, I could have some men interested in this as well. So let me introduce you to the special guest today. She is a patient with vulvar lichen sclerosis, which is LVS, and she is also a patient advocate. Jacqueline is actively involved in the international LVS research, and the cruise of her work centers around knowledge transition and dissemination. She is the founder of The Lost Labia Chronics, a content hub for evidence-based education and support. Through her platform, she has supported hundreds of people with LVS and health issues. Jacqueline is passionate about advancing LVS research and creating innovative education programs to help improve the quality of life with people living with LVS. Everyone, please welcome Jacqueline to the show. All right, everyone. I have Jacqueline here. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to chat with you today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I've been super pumped to talk about this.
Yes, me too. So I would love to kind of start out by asking, what are you most excited about that's coming up in your life? Could be anything.
Oh, that's coming up in my life. I am involved in a lot of vulvar lichen sclerosis research. And so I'm involved in several research projects right now, and some of them are in the kind of data analysis collection phase where we start decomposing what happened and what can we learn from this study? What are the key takeaways? So that's always like the exciting part for me anyways in research. So I'm really looking forward to getting that information out into the public because, of course, you know, when studies are being conducted, I can't really talk about it until it's published. But once you start getting towards the end, you're like, ooh, we get to start talking about this soon. So that's what I'm really pumped about.
I love that. Now, I would love for you to kind of share a little bit more. Like, obviously, everyone heard your bio, which is so impressive. Mm-hmm. And I love what you're doing, like, for the community, for everyone that has a vulva. Like, this work is so amazing. And I think it's so powerful. And I think that a lot of people might have ever heard of lichen sclerosis. So we'll probably refer to it as LS in this podcast, just so everyone's aware. I would love to kind of know, like, you know, how you got into this work and how, kind of just a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I really appreciate the point about a lot of people not knowing what this is, because we are not taught about our vulvas, about our genitals in school. And growing up, my sex education, the abysmal sex education that I did receive in school, was very much centered around avoiding pregnancy and then STIs. There was like, you know, and you can get yeast infections. So I grew up with the mindset of, if you've got any symptoms down there, it's either a yeast infection or an STI. So when I was 20, I started experiencing symptoms, particularly the vulvar area. My main symptoms were pain with sex, tearing with sex, where the physical vulvar tissues would actually tear when something was being inserted. Those were my main ones. I also had decreased clitoral sensation, but that was not the one that caused me the distress. It was really the pain aspect of it, the burning and the tearing during sex that was really alarming to me. So with that sex education, I assumed that it was an STI. So I would frequently go to STI clinics to hopefully have them tell me, you have this STI and this is the medication that we're going to give you. Of course, at each time that I would go to an STI clinic, they would say everything came back negative. And there was a point where I was almost praying to get an STI diagnosis because I needed a name to validate what was going on in my body. I knew this couldn't be normal. When I would chat with my girlfriends about our sex lives, nobody ever said, yeah, you know, isn't it frustrating when you tear all the time? Or do you also burn for 3 weeks after? Nobody was saying this. So I kind of felt like this, there is something happening. I just don't know what. And so the test kept coming up negative. I would go to family doctors, go to gynecologists, and all of them would pretty much say, you look fine. We don't see anything wrong with you. What's probably going on is you seem like a very stressed out, anxious person. And so I think the stress is causing you all of this pain. So try some yoga, try some meditation, and then that will all clear up. I had a couple doctors suggest drinking wine before sex so that I could have sex without pain. I, you know, there's so many reasons why that is problematic, but, you know, I was somebody that had a substance abuse background. So suggesting to me that I now consume alcohol to be able to have sex was like extra problematic and troubling for me. Now, of course, I didn't take up their suggestion, but that was something that was said to me. And then another thing that was said to me was that, well, your partner's penises are probably just really too big. And you should probably find somebody with a smaller penis. First of all, I don't have x-ray vision. So it's not like I can like just scan you and be like, yep, that's an appropriate size. I'll take you. You're too big. So yeah, this is what I was told from doctors for about 10 years. So all of these symptoms, the pain, the burning, the tearing, the stinging, this was getting progressively worse each year. And throughout that 10-year span, I would keep trying to see different healthcare providers to try and get some answers as to what was going on. And then basically what happened eventually, I found this women's health clinic that allegedly specialized in kind of vulvovaginal health issues. And I went there thinking like, okay, now I'm not just going to a gynecologist. I'm not just going to a family doctor. These people can help me. So the doctor saw me, you know, did a vulvar exam, looked at the vulva, which is the external genitalia, and said, nope, nothing's wrong with you. And I can't help you. And then as I was leaving said, oh, but maybe you have multiple sclerosis. Which, by the way, was terrifying because my mother had multiple sclerosis growing up. She passed away when I was 21, but I was just like, I'm sorry, what? Like, and she was like, yeah, but I can't help you with that either. And then just, I left. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. That,
so
that was
sorry.
The day
That's
where
awful.
I said, yeah, it was,
that's
it crushed
terrible.
Me. I won't lie. Like, it really crushed me. And I pretty much left thinking like, okay, like, I'm no longer going to see healthcare providers for this because this has been 10 years and no one takes me seriously. I get dismissed. I get belittled. I get pushed out the door. No one knows what's wrong. So I'm not going to keep subjecting myself to this. I'm just going to, I don't know, deal with it on my own. Mm-hmm. And then a week later, I went to see my family doctor for a completely unrelated issue. It was probably my back or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And in passing, I made a comment about my vulva. And she said, wait, 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 hold on. Can you say that again? Can you tell me a little bit more about your vulvar symptoms? And so I did. And she said, as your family doctor, I would like to examine you. If there's truly nothing wrong, I would like to be the one to say this. And so I said, you know what? Like, I'm here. What's one more person looking at my vulva at this point? Like, knowing full well she's going to tell me there's nothing wrong. But let's just humor her and go. So I went into the exam room, you know the drill, take off your pants, get on the table. And she walked in the room and within 1 second of looking at my vulva, she said, Jacqueline, you have lichen sclerosis.
Wow.
And I said, what? And then she took a more in-depth look and said, yeah, so your clitoral hood has completely covered the glands. Your clitoral gland is completely buried under the clitoral hood. You have no more inner labia. They've completely absorbed into the labia majora. You've got serious scarring and all of your vulvar tissue is basically white. And I was like, by the way, I wasn't looking at checking my vulva at this point. So I was like, what? Like, I have nothing down there and it's all white. What's going on? So she goes, okay, put your pants back on and we'll go have a chat about this in the other room, where she did give me a little chat, but it was very, very short. You know, healthcare providers only have so much time with patients. And so basically gave me the cold notes versions, which was, you know, we suspect it's autoimmune. There could be a hereditary component. It can cause sexual dysfunction and it increases your likelihood of developing vulvar cancer. I've given you a prescription for a steroid ointment. Take that and then follow up with a gynecologist. So that was what I got as, you know, my diagnosis and kind of my education, except that I'm in Canada. So wait times to get into gynecology can be very long. So it was a 9-month wait for a gynecologist, a 3-year wait to get into a vulvar specialist.
I just got the
So
chills. Oh my
yeah,
gosh.
It's very long. And so for me, that meant 9 months with no answers.
Right.
I didn't know what to do, how I was supposed to treat, what did this really mean for my future, for my sex life, for my relationship? I didn't know anything. And so, you know, I think the first 3 months were incredibly dark for me. My mental health really, really struggled. But in time, I started to educate myself. I started to go through the scientific papers and read through those with a really critical eye and learning about, you know, what causes this? What is this? How is it managed? What are the different management options? All of this. And so I was able to kind of figure things out on my own. I also got a sex therapist. I got a pelvic floor physical therapist. I did all of this on my own. So when I went in to see the gynecologist 9 months later, he said, well, your lichen sclerosis is in remission. This looks great. And so I was like, okay, well, I mean, that's nice. But after that, it really made me want to kind of pivot what I was doing so that I could help others with vulvar lichen sclerosis, learn about the condition, and advocate for this very large community of people who are struggling to get education, who are struggling to get support, who are struggling to navigate various healthcare systems. And so that's when I kind of took this turn into more patient advocacy and patient education work, which is kind of the crux of the vulvar lichen sclerosis work that I do now.
Wow. Well, first of all, I have to say thank you so much for sharing that story, because that is, wow, like that is so frustrating. Like you just kept on getting like a kind of shoved to the side and like, I don't know. Like so many doctors just maybe didn't even I wonder, did they even know what this is? Like, I'm just wondering from their standpoint, is that what you found, that maybe they didn't know what it was?
So I think there's a bunch of factors that go into why it kind of was, you know, missed for so long.
Right.
I think one thing is the language that I was using. So going back to the, I never learned about vulvar anatomy.
Yep.
I used the word vagina as a catch-all for everything down there. So when I was going to these clinics, when I was going to the doctors, I was saying, my vagina hurts.
I
I'm having issues with my vagina. So that means that they're going to be focused more on checking the inside than checking the outside. Now, it is true that to go inside, you do need to see. So there are questions like, well, if I was all white, like, why did you say,
why didn't they notice?
You know, if there was so much scarring and fusing, why didn't, but regardless, they might have just heard vagina and they were more fixated on that. So I think that's one small contributor. I do think there is an overall lack of provider education, specifically at the kind of like family doctors, primary care physicians, GPs, those types of doctors. I think there's really a lack of knowledge and understanding about vulvar lichen sclerosis. And there's also a lot of myths. So the education that they do have perpetuates a lot of myths that have been dispelled in recent years with, you know, a lot of research coming out. So some of these myths are that only postmenopausal people get lichen sclerosis.
Correct.
So that means that my 20-year-old presenting person, they're not going to think, oh, you know, she's got to have lichen sclerosis. They're going to think it's an STI, it's yeast, it's stress, but they're probably not going to think it's that. Another myth is that lichen sclerosis only causes itch. Now, there are people that only experience itch. There are people that only experience pain components, and then there are people that experience both pain and itch components. And there are people that are asymptomatic, which means they don't have pain or itch. And the way that they get diagnosed is often quite shocking, where they go to, you know, their annual, you know, check, and their gynecologist will say, hey, do you know you have lichen sclerosis? And they'll go, no. And then they'll tell them a little bit, you know, lichen sclerosis, this is what it is. And then they'll be like, but I'm so confused because I can have sex without pain. I don't itch. I don't have any symptoms. How can I have this? So it's quite varied in its presentation. And so I think that if the education they received was that itch postmenopausal, they're kind of working off of that. And that means that large populations are going to then be dismissed and left out.
Yeah.
Which is very unfortunate. And I do think that contributes to a lot of missed and delayed diagnoses that's seen, because in the literature, the average time to get a diagnosis is actually between 5 and 15 years
Wow.
for people to get a diagnosis, which is very, very long,
That's
especially
very
for
long.
a potentially precancerous condition. Really shouldn't be waiting 15 years for people to get diagnosed. So I think there's a multitude
Oh.
of factors that kind of go into why it's being missed. But I think those are two of the ones that really kind of stand out for me anyway.
Wow. So how old were you when you got diagnosed? Just so like, because I know it took so long, but how old were you?
Yeah, I was 31 when I was finally
Oh,
diagnosed.
wow. Okay. So that is a significant amount of time. Now, I know you said a little bit about like, so you felt like really relieved because you were like, okay, now I know. And so the creams and like the stuff that you can get for it, can you describe that a little bit? Like, did it help you? Does it seem to help your clients? Like, I guess maybe walk through a little bit of like the symptom. Like, I know you talked about the symptoms, but what can kind of help cope with the aggravation?
Yeah, so lichen sclerosis at this point is considered an autoimmune condition. It causes significant amounts of inflammation in the vulvar tissues. That inflammation causes the vulvar skin to physically change. It becomes very, very thick. This is a big problem because thick skin is itchy skin, and thick skin lacks elasticity. And that's why a lot of people can tear, crack, and fissure, because the skin lacks that mobility to kind of accommodate for things being inserted. That inflammatory response also kills off these cells that are called melanocytes. And melanocytes are essentially the cells that give your skin color. They give your skin pigment. So if your vulva is brown, if your vulva is dark brown, if it's, you know, a deep pink, that's the melanocytes giving it color during that inflammatory response. Those cells get attacked, so we lose a lot of those melanocytes, and then some people end up losing the color of their skin. That's why it can appear grayer or ashy or white, you know, a variety of colors it can present, but essentially you're losing color. So that thick skin can become a real big issue. And now you might not see that the skin is thick. So like if you do a vulvar check, you might look and say, no, it looks normal or it looks thin. And that can absolutely be true because LS is a skin deep condition. We have three layers of skin. There's the layer on the top, which is the epidermis. Then below that, you have the dermis. Then you have the subcutaneous layer at the bottom. So that epidermis also has multiple layers. And the very, very, very top layer, that can thin out for some people. But right below that and into the dermis, it is incredibly thick. That's one of the hallmarks of lichen sclerosis. When they do a biopsy, they are looking for that thickened layer of skin so that they can make that call. That's one of the markers that they're going to look for in a biopsy. So when you talk about managing and treating the condition, unfortunately, there is no cure. The best treatment that is available right now, and I say right now because science is always changing and there's a
We
big
love it.
interest, in lichen sclerosis research right now. There's multiple different new treatments in the pipeline that are, you know, in randomized control trials right now. So right now, you know, at the time that we film this, the gold standard is topical corticosteroids. So topical just means it's a cream, it's applied to the skin. It's not a tablet that you would take. It's not an oral medication. So the recommendation is actually that you get your steroid in an ointment form for two reasons. One is because the ointment is basically the vehicle that's delivering the steroid medication to where it needs to go, which is to the bottom layer, that subcutaneous layer. It needs to go through the epidermis, the dermis, all the way down to the bottom, because that's where all the inflammation is being generated. So you need to get that medication all the way down. The best vehicle to do that is the ointment. But another reason that ointments are slightly superior to creams is that cream bases contain alcohol. Now, if you think about that, if you think about lichen sclerosis skin and how many of us have cracks, fissures, open wounds, if you put alcohol, if you've ever gotten a paper cut and you touch alcohol, you know how much that burns. So if you're giving a medication that has alcohol in it and then you have, you know, open skin, you apply it there, it can sting, it can burn, it can really exacerbate symptoms for some people. So the ointment is typically the preferred treatment for that. And then with the topical corticosteroid, the recommendation for application is to soak in a tub or a sitz bath for approximately 15 to 20 minutes before you apply the medication. The reasoning behind this is actually, again, everything is like ties back to the thick skin. So there's a thick band of skin in the middle. We want the medication to go all the way to the bottom. Now, this is really thick. The medication is going to have a really hard time getting all the way down. Mm-hmm. So the soaking actually helps soften the skin, open the pores, so that the medication has an easier time passing through that thick layer so that it can get all the way to the bottom. So the recommendation is a sitz bath or a bath. If that's not available to you, a shower can do as well. There's other alternatives to that, of course, but that is like kind of best practice, best recommendation. And then the other point is that you really want to make sure that you rub your medication into the skin for approximately a minute or so. The reason for that is that if you just slather it on top, like a one time, just poof, it's going to sit on that top layer of skin, not really going to go again down. So you really want to rub it, making sure that it's actually absorbing into the skin. That's one of the things that I didn't do initially. I just like squeezed out like way too much, like steroid, by the way. I squeezed out tons. And then I just went, slapped it on, and that was it. But if you do that, you are increasing the likelihood of having side effects. And you're also increasing the likelihood of it not going where it needs to go. So in order to get the most out of your steroid, it's you want to soak, get out of the tub, dry off, rub it in, you know, for about a minute or so. And then that's that.
And so just a regular bath, or did you say you put something in the bath?
You don't need to put anything in the bath, just warm water. I won't lie. I do like scalding hot water because the heat. And I know it's not good. Right. Like LS or not, like every dermatologist is like, you're just going to dry out your skin and it's not healthy for the skin.
But you're like, it feels good.
Be warm. Exactly. And I'm like, but it feels good for my soul. Okay. So
it really does.
You don't have to like, I know. So it's like, no, you don't have to go like scalding hot like me, but like warm hot water, plain, just fine. The thing that I might have said that you might have thought I meant putting something in is a sitz bath. So that's something that you put over your toilet that you sit in. So if you don't have a bath, like many apartment buildings don't have baths, right? There's only a shower. And so then it's like, okay, well, what do I do? What are my options? So one option is to get a sitz bath, which is just little thing that you put onto your toilet, you fill it up with water, and then you just kind of sit there and chill. I usually listen to a podcast or something because it's pretty boring to just sit on your toilet for 15 minutes.
Right.
So I try to make it, you know, a little bit more fun and engaging. There's also sitz bath shorts. So they're like shorts that you fill up with water, and then you can kind of like go around the house. So let's say you're like a busy parent.
Yeah.
And you don't have time for any of this. So you can like fill up those shorts, put them on, go to your kitchen, make your toddler's food, answer a few work emails, and you're soaking. Then you just take them off and again, just put your ointment on and go. So there are alternatives if a bath doesn't work. But yeah, and then some people put stuff in the bath, you know, like some people put Epsom salts or stuff like that. I typically don't put anything. At least if I put something in, it's never for lichen sclerosis. So I do put Epsom salt sometimes, but that's usually if I did like a really intense workout at the gym.
Muscles,
not so much
yes.
for my LS that I'm doing that. I'm just kind of doing it for my muscles and for like general relaxation, but you don't need to put anything in.
No, these are such great tips. Now, I don't know if you know about this, but is there any like triggers or factors that could worsen LS symptoms that you're aware of?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I would say that, so first of all, just to be like perfectly transparent, this has not been like validated in any scientific research. I'm going more off of what I see as a patient advocate in the community. So by far and large, the number one trigger for people with LS that will make their symptoms worse, that can put them into a flare, is going to be stress. Now, that kind of sucks to hear in a sense because stress is such a normal part of our lives. And it's something that we have little control over in many instances. And it's just kind of unavoidable if you have a job, if you're in a relationship, if you have kids. I mean, just the political climate of, the world. There's a lot going on. And if you're stressed, like that's super valid. But, even just having a chronic illness, like
Right.
lichen sclerosis can be stressful. So, I always talk about like this stress cycle where I notice my symptoms and then that causes me to feel stress. But then I stress about the fact that I'm stressing because I know from my background, having a PhD in philosophy of neuroscience, that stress can very much impact your symptoms. It can amplify symptoms. And I know that I'm not doing my body any good. So now I'm stressing about stressing,
Right, which
which
is
leads to my symptoms worsening, which leads to more stress, and it's just this awful cycle. So I always recommend, when we talk about treatment, yes, topical corticosteroids or topical calcineurin inhibitors are going to be the main evidence-based ways to treat. But I always say you can throw all the steroids in the world at your vulva. And if your nervous system is completely dysregulated, if you are highly, highly stressed, not sleeping, all of these things, then you may never get into remission. So
Right.
I do like to, I'm very evidence-based in my personal approach, but I
Yeah.
do want to make it more well-rounded. And so for me, being in remission, being very well managed, yes, I treat with topical corticosteroids, but I also very, very deliberately prioritize stress reduction techniques, nervous system regulation work, all of that as well. And then I would say that the other most common trigger, like there's two that you hear the most in the community. So stress is number one. And then the second is diet slash food. And that one is, it's so wide ranging. So first of all, lichen sclerosis is an incredibly individualized condition. We experience our symptoms differently. We experience our signs differently. We have different triggers. We have different responses to medication. It's nothing is one size fits all when it comes to LS. So when it comes to diet, some people will say, I notice that when I eat specific individual foods, that it triggers a flare. Those specific foods, I've heard literally everything. Some people will tell me a grain of corn, one grain of
Interesting.
corn, and I will itch for weeks. For some people, it's nightshades. For some people, it's oxalates. For some people, they do better on certain programs like the autoimmune protocol or the carnivore diet, all of these things. And then there are people like me who don't seem to have any connection with the foods that they eat. So for instance, my main trigger is going to be stress. I can eat anything I want and I stay in remission. I stay symptom-free. I can literally put down a six-pack of gourmet donuts and nothing happens. Whereas some people have to avoid artificial sugar altogether. And so I always recommend that if people suspect that there's a dietary component to their lichen sclerosis, if it's accessible, and I know it's not accessible to many, but if it is, that they work with a registered nutritionist or a
That's a good idea.
dietitian, a professional that can really help you identify what are the problem foods, help you move through that elimination phase and then the reintroduction phase. And then the other thing I also say is that if you have a history of disordered eating, I highly recommend working alongside a counselor because a lot of these
Absolutely.
diets and programs for people with chronic illnesses, do involve a big elimination phase. They can be quite restrictive. And so for people that have a history of disordered eating, that can really trigger that again. And so I highly encourage working alongside, with a counselor to make sure that you are okay during that process. Now, the goal is ultimately to bring back as much food as possible, but it can be really triggering. And maybe if you don't have a history of disordered eating, but you start seeing in yourself that you're developing food anxiety, then again, maybe bringing in a counselor to make sure that you're
Love
doing
that.
this in the best way for you and your body.
Oh, I love that so much. And thank you for sharing that because I think that's something that's like, again, I think a lot of people are not aware of LS. And I think the fact that you're sharing this amazing information is just wonderful. And I love it and appreciate it so much. And yeah, I think, having a counselor, I here on My Naked Mindset, we are all about therapy. And I just think it's such a wonderful thing. But yeah, I think that those two things are just, they're so critical. And yeah, like the stress part of things too. Like, I guess if some of your people that you work with are having a lot of stress, like, do you have any like tips on, obviously, like everyone's different, just like, in anything, but what are some ways, or maybe even you, if you're going through some stressful things, like what are your favorite maybe self-care rituals or routines or something to kind of help calm the nervous system?
So my philosophy with this is really to keep it simple. What I don't like is recommending an abundance of things and recommending that you dedicate hours of your day and week to this because I don't think that that is sustainable for most people. And to really reap the benefits of stress reduction techniques, you want to be practicing it regularly. So I always tell people, whatever it is, 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, find what works for you and adopt a schedule that you can be consistent with. Consistency doesn't have to be 9 a.m. every morning. Maybe you work a really intense job and some days it's 9 a.m., 3 p.m., 2 in the morning. Do what works for you. And then I also like to keep things simple. And normally when I give recommendations, I give free recommendations, so you don't have to pay anything, kind of middle budget, you
Oh, I
pay a
like
little bit,
that.
but it's not excessive. And then, here are options that will cost you quite a lot because I recognize that people come from different financial backgrounds. And so I never want to give just, only suggestions that come with a price tag. I always want to give, you can do this for free. And sometimes it's not even about the money, but it's about when the heck am I going to do this and how am I going to do this, right? So I'll give one example. This is like kind of coming from the vagus nerve relaxation technique, which is cold exposure. So cold exposure, you can do this for free at home by splashing your face with cold water or tying your hair back, submerging your face in a bowl of cold water. You can work your way up to cold showers, even cold baths. You didn't have to leave the house. That took you maybe 10 minutes max. And so you saved on time and money. Anybody can do that. But then, the
Love it.
complete opposite is to go to, these big kind of sports rehab centers where they offer cryotherapy and you can actually go into these enclosed booths to get super cold therapy exposure. The thing with that is that that comes with a price tag, but not only that, you have to leave your house. And so you may not have time to drive to the nearest clinic because it's not like there's a cryotherapy center on every block, even in a big city like I live in Toronto, Canada, and I certainly don't have those everywhere. So, you typically have to go. So, there always are things that you can do easy at home. I do cold exposure and I love breath work and meditation. I'm a big fan of, actually, I'm a really big fan of meditation. I won't lie, I hated it at first.
Yes, it's hard. It's not easy.
It's hard work. It
It
really is.
is.
And I think almost at first, I felt like it was making me worse in a sense. So my first
I
kind of
totally get
encounter
that.
with meditation, I was in this hot yoga class, and the last 10 minutes was, let's do a body scan together. And I have multiple chronic pain conditions. Lichen sclerosis isn't the only one. And so we were doing the body scan, and when the person guiding the scan would get to a part of my body that hurt. He was like, just stay with it, stay with it. And I was sitting on that or lying on that mat thinking, I don't want to be in my body. Don't you understand? Like, I have pain. I don't want to focus on the pain. I want to take my mind away from the pain. I don't want to
That's
think
so
about
valid.
Any of this. And so I think there was a lot of resistance in me initially. Preface this one. Every country has medical systems. There are pros and cons to all. But one pro to the Canadian healthcare system is a lot of different programs are free. So
that is
because
very
I
nice,
have,
yeah.
So because I have multiple chronic pain conditions, I was enrolled in a one-year program at the hospital in the pain clinic. And this was like a multidisciplinary pain clinic. So they could prescribe medications, they could do ketamine infusions, Botox injections, you name it. But the big crux of their program was pain education. Everybody had to go through the pain education course. And then there was like different group therapy that you would do. It was kind of a combination of meditation, cognitive behavioral therapy, group share, stuff like that.
Oh, I like
and
that.
we meditated as a group 2 to 3 times a week.
Mm.
And what I loved about that was accountability.
Right.
I knew that at bare minimum, I was going to do it 3 times a week, no matter what. So that really helped me kind of get into it. And then we would always kind of like debrief as a group towards the end of the sessions and like what came up for you and yada, yada. And I think I felt really validated in that resistance because there was a lot of resistance. And then what was really neat was watching that resistance soften, not just with me, but with other group members, that softening of that resistance over time. You know, once we reached that 6 month mark, you could really see a difference. And I don't mean that everybody was like, oh, I'm pain free, enjoy, but the resistance softened. There was more acceptance. We also did a lot of acceptance and commitment therapy. So this program was really, really
That's
wonderful.
Awesome.
And I really picked up, you know, my love of meditation and deep breathing. And again, this is something that can be super cheap, free at home. So you don't need to go out and spend money on a course, on a program, on a membership. You can open YouTube and put meditation videos, body scans. Now, it might take you some time. You got to play with it because, you know, some people like soft voices, some people like loud voices. Sometimes people don't like voices. They just want like
the music.
You know, so if you're new to meditation, there can be some experimentation to find what works for you. But again, there's no need. But if you do want, you know, something more intense, there are programs, there are memberships out there. I'm part of a pelvic health yoga membership.
That I
love
that.
Yeah. And so the person that runs that, her name is Penny, and she herself has lichen sclerosis. And she's also a certified yoga instructor. And her experience with lichen sclerosis caused her to kind of pivot her yoga teaching towards more pelvic health yoga. So using yoga to, you know, foster good pelvic health because our pelvic floors are intimately connected to our vaginas, to our vulvas. So we want to also be thinking about pelvic health when we have lichen sclerosis. And so I am a part of that membership, and that membership really just has so much in it. So she does kind of live classes every week, which I love you, Penny, but I never attend because work, but you can watch the replays after. So she's got libraries and libraries and libraries of the live classes that you can kind of go back and do. Then she has like pelvic reset challenges. Then she has breath work, so learning to breathe with the pelvic floor. She has meditations in there. She has EFT, so emotional tapping.
Oh, I love that.
In there. She's got all of it. So I always see, you know, and say, you know, if you're really looking to get like bang for your buck, you know, that might be. And if you are somebody that is accessible to you and you're willing to, you know, pay a little bit for the membership, it's so all encompassing. And so you can mix and match the breathing with the meditation, with the movement, with the emotional tapping and everything else in there. And so if anybody does want to join, I can add a link at the end, and then you can use my code Jacqueline and get a free 30 days, and then 30% off your first month after. But that's a really one that kind of encompasses it all. So meditation is really big for me. Breath work and the cold exposure, I think, are my main ones. but I don't want to exclude the importance of therapy for me.
Love. Yep.
You know,
Love
that
therapy.
That really is, I would be really, you know, remiss to not mention that point, because yeah, I do meditation. Yeah, I do cold exposure, but the reality is life is hard and you know, I need a little bit more
Absolutely.
In the support realm. So I do have a sex therapist that I work with, and it's not always on sex related stuff. We can also do, you know, health anxiety, general anxiety, help me move through stressful periods, learning to process my emotions, all of that. So yeah,
that's beautiful.
Therapy is in there too, for sure.
No, thank you for sharing those. Those are so good. Like, and I'm a huge proponent of meditation as well, and breath work, and just like kind of mindfulness too, because obviously that kind of encompasses a lot of that. But yeah, it can be very powerful. And I think a lot of people are very like hesitant to try meditation, but I really think that's why they call it a practice, right? Like that's why they call it a practice. It's not very easy, but I think once you kind of get the hang of it, and it can be so helpful. Like if I'm really stressed out at work, like I work from home, but like sometimes I'm like, you know what, Jeanette, you just have to walk away, go in another room, sit down, open up my app. I like Insight Timer. I don't know if you've ever tried
Yes,
that.
I have that one.
That's probably my favorite. Although I do love YouTube, of course. They have so many on there as well. But open up Insight Timer. If anyone's listening, please go download that app. I think it can be so helpful.
Great.
I love like the filtering you can do on it for like times, or like if you want to go to sleep, like if you're having a stressful moment. Like I do like 5 minute ones, and it's like, okay, I'm good now. I feel so much better. So I'm a huge proponent, and I love that. Yeah. And of course, therapy too. You know, I had one more question. So if someone were to have LS and they're maybe having, maybe they're, you know, them, her and the partner are having issues because there's painful sex. Is there anything, but obviously besides like the ointments and that type of stuff, is there anything else we can try to do maybe to still be intimate in some way? But like, is there anything that you would
Oh my
recommend?
gosh. Yeah. I mean, truthfully, we could talk about that for an hour. So I'm going to try to keep this
Okay.
very succinct because I have so much to say on this. Number one, I think it's important to identify what type of pain you're experiencing. And is the pain solely from lichen sclerosis, or is there a secondary condition going on? So by that, I mean, frequently what can happen with patients with lichen sclerosis is they end up developing overactive pelvic floor muscles. It used to be called hypertonic pelvic floor. They're kind of just going with overactive pelvic floor muscles now. But because once you start experiencing pain in the vulva, your body starts to think of and associate insertion pain. And so your body wants to protect you. And in that, it tenses the muscles up to protect you. And you may do this subconsciously. I didn't even know I was doing this for years. I said, I'm not doing that. And lo and behold, I was. This becomes a problem for a multitude of reasons. But one, tight pelvic floor muscles alone can cause pain with sex.
Right.
And
For sure.
Then if the pelvic floor muscles are tight, that can make things more prone to tearing and cracking. Again, we want things soft, elastic, mobile, so that can contribute to tearing and pain. So if you're treating your lichen sclerosis and you're still having pain, you might start to wonder, is there something else going on? Lichen sclerosis pain also is usually more superficial. If there's deep pain with penetration, that may also indicate a secondary condition. And a lot of people have multiple concurrent conditions. So it is important to identify the type of pain. Is it solely from LS? Are there other conditions? And then getting an appropriate treatment plan that's going to attack all of those and not just one. Another reason why there's a lot of pain with sex can be due to tearing. So when it comes to tearing, there are a few options that you can do. I have a whole video on YouTube talking about, I think it's like 8 different ways to manage recurrent tearing. And I always apply this similar principle where I start from like least invasive to most invasive. And so on the kind of less invasive side of things, if you do tear with sex, some tips involve doubling up on protection, and I don't mean condoms. So Of course, use lube, right? Everybody knows if you're tearing or pain, lube.
Yes,
But
lube.
when, yeah, so like that's a given, but
Love
double
lube.
up on it.
Okay,
So
that's yeah.
before you apply the lube, one thing you can do is to try to apply like a barrier cream. So a barrier cream is something like
Oh.
Vaseline, petroleum jelly that's thick, so that it's kind of covering that area that tends to tear, giving you this kind of like extra layer of protection. So you put the Vaseline on first and then put your lube on. So there's almost like
That's
two kind
genius.
of things to help minimize that. Another
Right.
thing is to explore positions. Some people with
Yes.
recurrent tearing will actually just keep tearing in certain positions. But if they learn the correct positioning of their body, sometimes they can avoid that tearing. So Google is actually great for different, you know, sex
Love.
positions. So
Yes.
that's one thing. If you're not comfortable with that, that is something that can be worked with a sex coach, sex educator, or a sex therapist, you know, with different types of positions. And it's not just positions of your body. Think about your props, pillows,
Yeah.
things like that that you can play with. Some people might tear always in missionary, but some people with vulvar lichen sclerosis find that if they're on top, they're controlling how fast they're going, the motion, that then
Love
they
that.
can kind of get it where it doesn't hurt. So exploring positions can be, you know, another kind of less invasive way. Again, there's way more less invasive ways to kind of attack that. But say that those more conservative measures fail, there are surgical procedures to help with recurrent tearing.
Oh,
So
interesting.
basically, I need my little vulva puppet.
Oh my God, I love that you have that. I need one. That's amazing.
I love it too. Okay, so we will pretend that the base of this vulva puppet is the vaginal opening. The vaginal opening is here, and right here is kind of like the fourchette area. This area, for a lot of people, that 6 o'clock tends to tear a lot. So let's say I tear once, so I'll have some mild scar tissue buildup. Now, if I
Right.
keep tearing, there's more and more scarring. And what some people can develop is almost a shelf of scar tissue at the entrance of the vagina, which also narrows the vagina, but makes it harder because scar tissue is thick, it's rigid, it's not flexible. So you're going to keep tearing. So there is a
Right.
surgical procedure where they will go and remove the scar tissue, opening up the entrance of the vagina, making it less likely that it's going to tear because now we've removed that heavy scar tissue. And
Right.
post-op care is very important for that, to make sure that it heals open and that we don't have this problem kind of recurring down the line. So you definitely want to make sure that if you go for kind of surgical procedures, that you're seeing a reputable surgeon, a surgeon that is a
Definitely.
specialist in lichen sclerosis skin, that is very well versed on this, that has high success rates. You want to vet them. That's very, very important. Don't just go to anyone that says, oh yeah, I can do surgery on you. It's a
Right.
big deal. You want to make sure you're in good hands. The good surgeons will give you very clear aftercare plans. It will probably include physical therapy after you've healed to kind of, again, help the pelvic floor muscles. There might be dilator work involved to help keep that area open, spacious, all of that. But there are both, you know, conservative and more kind of surgical based procedures that are available to people with lichen sclerosis. And then there are other things that are currently being investigated, like fat grafting, to
Interesting.
help with sexual pain and tearing at the, you know, specifically in the fourchette perineum area, but kind of anywhere. So that there's a randomized control trial looking into that in the UK right now. So there are a lot of different things that are being explored with respect to sexual health and tearing and pain. And then the clitoris is a whole different, you know, can of worms to discuss as well, because the clitoris is involved, and that's another thing that can cause sexual complications. But there are so many resources out there to kind of work with. My philosophy is I always default to, let's try the most conservative thing first. And then if I need surgery, we will cross that bridge when we get there. Luckily, I have never had to have surgery. I actually was able to completely unfuse my clitoris without
Good.
surgery.
That's
I no
amazing.
longer tear during sex. I didn't have to do any of the, I didn't have to do a surgery. Sex doesn't hurt me anymore.
That's
And
amazing.
yeah, so they're, you know, everybody's different. Everyone's going to need different
Right.
things, but there are different
Totally.
options. And I'm hoping that, you know, in the next 5 years, we're going to have even more resources for people when it comes to sexual pain and sexual health
Wow.
issues. And then the other thing too, I'll just mention briefly, is the importance of open communication with your partner. And, you know, the
That's a good
concept
one.
of like, let's broaden our understanding of what intimacy means, because so many of us have this narrative that's been ingrained by society where intimacy is penetration. And so a lot of times with lichen sclerosis, sometimes it's, we have to broaden that a little bit. And there will
Right.
be times where maybe penetration is off the table, but oral sex is okay, or
Right,
nipple
totally.
play is okay, or toys
Yes.
is what we're doing, you know, and we can explore all of those things. But that does take, you know, it's not easy to have these conversations. Like, I
Right.
talk about it, like, yeah, just talk to your partner. It's hard. And so if you're
Right.
struggling with that, you know, again, sex educators, sex coaches, sex therapists can be great resources to navigate and help you through those different kinds of conversations.
Yes, I love that. I think it's so important to communicate about sex, about how things are going, what you're enjoying, what you're not enjoying, like, and especially with someone with LS, it's like, yeah, you need to communicate, like, hey, if it's hurting, don't feel like you have to like push through this. Like, if you're having sex, like, share that with your partner. If they're a good person and if they love you, they will understand. Like, I think that that's something that's so important, and just being very open about it, being just say, hey, you know what, this is really, really uncomfortable, can we try something else, or let's go in a different position, like you were talking about earlier. And I think just having that open dialogue is so important, and I mean, not even just for this, for every part of sex. I think it's something that's so important to talk about. I love it.
It really is.
I love that tip. Oh my God. Like, I could literally talk to you for hours. Like, this is so good. Like,
I
I
know,
wrote.
same. I'm like, oh boy, I could say so many other things. It's not even funny.
Well, you know what? You know what we should do? We should do like another part podcast in a couple months about like something similar, but like
Yeah,
a
we'll fix the
spinoff.
topic.
Yeah. This was just so amazing. And I thank you so much for all the work you're doing, because clearly it is so helpful and needed. And I so appreciate when people are passionate about something that not a lot of people know about, not a lot of people are aware about. And like, I can feel your passion for it, and I appreciate that so much. Like, this has just been such a great, great resource. And I think everyone is going to learn something new if they're not already aware of this. So I also just, I love talking about anything to do with women's bodies and just all the things. So I want to say thank you so much for having this conversation with me today.
Of course, my pleasure.
Any last thoughts before we get into our game?
Maybe just if anybody has lichen sclerosis, thinks they have lichen sclerosis, has a friend, a loved one with lichen sclerosis, I do have a free ebook that I would recommend getting. You can get it at loslabia.com/LS ebook. It's free. It's over 100 pages of evidence-based education and resources. Highly, highly recommend that. Almost all questions are addressed in there: genetics, hereditary stuff, causes, what it is, how it's managed, vulvar cancer, what to look for in vulvar checks, sexual health, mental health, all of that. So definitely recommend getting that. And then I think that's just like the main thing that I would want people to know, just because it's just so full of information.
Oh, that's amazing.
And
Thank
I
you.
revise it every year based on new scientific research that
Wow.
comes out. So every year there's a
That's
new
amazing.
edition. Every year there's more things added. Like this year, we learned more about genetics and the
Okay.
different cells and molecules that are involved in it. So, you know, we
Huh.
go through all of that. We didn't know that a year before. Now there's new thoughts about the causal mechanism. So what is triggering the actual autoimmune reaction? We're starting to get more answers there, more targeted therapies. So I definitely update that every year so that it's, you know, accurate and up to date.
Wow, that's incredible. I love that so much. I love
Yeah.
that.
And you're not alone, and
Yes,
there is
that's a
hope.
very good thought. Yeah.
It's a condition that can feel very isolating to have,
Right.
particularly because it affects your vulva. So, if I have strep throat, I tell everyone I have strep throat. Nobody cares.
Right.
But it's hard to talk about your vulva. I mean, I don't personally care, but I see people get really uncomfortable sometimes
Yeah.
when I talk about it, right? And, there's a lot of taboo and stigma built into this. So because of that, it can feel very isolating. So one, you're not alone, and two, there is hope. It can feel like a very heavy, scary diagnosis. Trust me, I went through the whole gamut of the mental health journey, but
Yeah.
there is hope. You can get into remission. I've been in remission for almost 4 years, no symptoms at all during that time. Use my steroids for maintenance. That's it, that's all. So there
Wow.
definitely is hope. You can still have a beautiful, fulfilling life with this. It's just a question of finding the best treatment that works for your body and learning how to care for yourself and your LS as an individual.
Wow. Beautifully said. Beautifully
Thank
said.
you.
And again, thank you for sharing your story as well. I just appreciated it so much. All right, so are you ready for our game?
I am. Let's go.
Perfect. All right, so it's called
Okay.
This or That, super easy. So the first one is, are you an early riser or night owl?
Early riser.
Early riser. Waffle fries or curly fries?
Not easy. I'm gonna go with curly fries, but like that's
It's a
oh.
hard one, I know.
Mm.
I
It
love
also
it.
depends, like, where am I getting them from? Because some restaurants have like better waffle fries than curly fries. Some people have different, but ultimately, I'll go with curly fries on
Love it. That's totally fair.
this one.
Swimming pool or the ocean?
Oh my gosh. I grew up a competitive swimmer, so
Oh,
the water is my home,
love.
and I love both. But I'll go with the ocean. But like again, we're like that's. They're close for me.
That's
It's
totally
just
fair.
the ocean just feels a little bit more freeing because it's so expansive compared
It
to a pool that
is.
feels a little bit more restrictive. But
Definitely. They both have
they
pros and cons, I think, too.
do. They do. Pools don't have sharks.
Right.
That's nice.
And there's no rip tides in the swimming pool because those are
That
freaking scary.
too. That
Those
too.
are
Even if you
so
are a
terrifying.
competitive swimmer,
Yes.
that can take anyone out. So.
Literally. Pizza or pasta?
Pizza.
Pizza. Do you prefer texting or a phone call?
Ooh, texting.
Texting. Would you rather be a kid forever or be an adult forever?
An adult. I feel like such a masochist saying that because, like, as a kid, I don't have to pay bills or worry about taxes or this or that, but
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, but for some
No.
reason, I'm like, no, let's go for the pain. Let's be an adult and have all the responsibilities. But that, yeah, that's
I
my
feel you.
answer.
I feel you. I love that. That's a good answer. Would you rather give up all technology or give up TV, movies, and books? I know it's a tough one.
All technology, TV, movies, and books, I guess. Oh, wow.
The tough one.
Okay, I'll answer this now, and then if you have me back in a couple months for a different LS topic, I might get ask me the same question again, because it might change my mind. So we'll see how consistent I am. I guess I would give up movies, TV, and books.
That's
That
fair.
hurts me.
I know. I love a good
Hurts
book,
me.
but you could probably get away with an ebook if you still had technology. So there could be a
Yeah,
way to get around it.
that's what I was thinking. But like technology allows me to connect with my community
I
and it
know.
allows me to stay in touch with family and friends across the world.
It is a
That means a
powerful
lot to
tool.
me. So,
That's fair.
hard.
That's totally fair.
Oh,
The next one is, would you rather own a private jet or own a yacht?
yacht.
Yacht. Love it.
Because then I can go swimming
Oh,
in
that's a
the
good
ocean.
point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
The next one is very interesting. Would you rather eyes that film everything or ears that record everything?
Ooh, both sound fantastic.
I know, right?
Think I would want ears that record everything.
Mm.
Because I do a lot of academic work.
Yeah, and then you could
And
just like
I
play it
feel like
back.
the ability to remember talks and conferences and lectures and all of that would be really great. But eyes recording everything is beautiful too, because
Yeah.
yeah. But I'm gonna go with the ears.
Love it. Would you have an unlimited gift card to your favorite restaurant or your favorite clothing store?
Clothing store.
Mm.
Because it's
Love.
more expensive.
That's true. That is
That
so
was like a
true.
cost analysis kind of answer right
See, I
there.
like
I was
that.
like,
I like
oh,
that.
well, I drop more money at clothing stores even though I get it less
Me too.
frequently. So I'll save more money if I had the unlimited to the clothing store.
That's a good point. See, I love asking these questions because the answers are all so different and it's so fascinating. I
Yeah.
love it. City or small town?
Oh, city.
City. Love it. Potted plants or flowers?
Potted plants.
Love. And the last one is
Even
sit.
though I really struggled to keep them alive. And like
Oh,
the only thing I have is like one
same.
snake plant that survived
Ooh.
because I went to the warehouse and it literally like it had these little identifiers on the plants and it was like stupidly easy to keep alive was what it said. And I was like, I need that plant.
That's
That's the
the
plant I need for me because I keep killing them, but I want my house to be an
It's,
abundance of potted plants.
I love it too.
But they always die.
I know, I feel you. I do have some succulents that I've had for quite some time, but I did also kill succulents. And I'm like, Janae,
Yeah.
how'd you do that? I don't
Right?
know.
Because apparently succulents are the easiest thing. And they're like, well, get a
Right.
succulent because you'll never kill them. I do have succulents that I've kept alive, but I've killed a lot of them. So
It's
I don't know.
hard. It's hard. It's not
It is.
easy. Okay, and then the last one is sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
Sunset. Love it. Oh
Yeah.
my God, I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for everything you're doing. It's incredible. I so appreciate the work that you're doing and that you're sharing with the world because I think it's so important. Please let everyone know where they can connect with you, where they can find all of the things that you got going on.
Yeah. So I am most active on Instagram when it comes to social media. So you can find me at the Lost Labia Chronicles. I'm also on Facebook. I'm just more active on the Instagram platform. You can also email me, Jacqueline at lostlabia.com. Jacqueline is spelled Jacqueline. And then my website is lostlabia.com. And that's where you can find my ebooks, my webinars, blogs, YouTube videos. I have a whole resources page. There's just an abundance of kind of lichen sclerosis resources, yeah, on there. And I also do offer one-on-one calls for people that are looking for Alice peer support. That's lostlabia.com/support call. And I believe that's everything.
Amazing.
Think that should be, yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here today. It was such a pleasure speaking with you.
Oh, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
All right, y'all. I hope you enjoyed this episode and you learned something new. Obviously, you guys know I love talking about anything related to our bodies and just learning more about a topic that is very important that is so quote unquote taboo. But here we're making it less taboo. So, hope you guys enjoyed. You know where to find me at My Naked Mindset on all of your social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all the things. You can also find my self-love journal on Amazon, TikTok Shop, and Etsy. Please email me if you would like a certain topic to be discussed with an expert or if you'd like me to talk about anything specific. I love you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. Okay, bye.